And I entered a whole new world where nature was actually alive, and nature was holding a key to my well-being and happiness and joy. I also realized that inside me there is a great teacher and a wonderful awareness that is happy and joyful. And my change and healing and transformation, especially healing from post-traumatic stress disorder, trauma, happened through going to nature and going on a sacred journey. So I was removed from day-to-day life and ended up traveling to different locations and places, meeting people. And then the earth started to speak to me and sing beautiful songs. And I found out that nature constantly speaks to us. And if we stop, look, and listen, as Grandmother White Star, a Native American medicine woman, used to tell me time and again, we can receive abundance of information, wisdom, and healing medicine that can improve our lives and the life of the planet.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. In the studio this morning, I have Osha River Aurea and Michael Fleck. Both come from Waiheke Island, and they're here to share their journey of the sacredness into the natural world, into places for deep healing and inner peace. And in a world that's very, very challenged at the moment, I'm very pleased that you have been able to come to the studio and tell your story. And so I want to say shalom to you, Osha, and kia ora to Michael.
Kia ora, Tim.
Shalom.
And Osha, you come from the other side of our planet. Would you be able to just share a little bit of your journey and why you have found yourself in a large oasis like the New Zealand bush?
Yes, I was born and raised in Israel, a country that we all know is under a lot of conflict and war. And that took me into a long search into other possibilities of living life with greater peace. I lived in Israel for 26 years and finished a BA in English and Education from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, and then started studying Masters of Arts degree in Expressive Arts Therapies, looking into how we can heal ourselves using creative approaches. But then I felt inside my heart very unhappy and gray. And in 1997, I left Israel to the United States following a desire to meet a woman that will show me who I am. And in America, I met with Native American medicine women who completely changed my whole perception about life. They actually turned me 360 degrees. All my beliefs, all the things that I thought were true, just crumbled before my eyes. And I entered a whole new world where nature was actually alive. And nature was holding a key to my well-being and happiness and joy. I also realized that inside me there is a great teacher and a wonderful awareness that is happy and joyful. And so after I completed my master's degree in expressive art therapies and wrote a thesis about how we can live a spiritual life within the new paradigm of love and unity, which means moving from fear into more love into our day-to-day existence, I went back to Israel. I thought I could live there. But again, the riots and the war made me feel very uncomfortable. And I searched for a place where I can live a peaceful life. And that's where New Zealand came into my awareness. And so in 2001, I left Israel again and moved to New Zealand. And to my surprise, I embarked on a sacred journey a sacred journey into this land. And later on, I met Michael Fleck, with whom we've decided to co-create and co-lead the sacred journeys to take people into this new paradigm of love and unity, connecting with the natural world, with ourselves, visiting sacred sites and medicine guides that embody the vibration of this beautiful land.
Very much so. I'm really glad that you are able to find this little oasis in the South Pacific Ocean to allow yourself to flower. And Michael, you have also been involved, and I've known you before you came to New Zealand. I met you up on Hawaii and then also in Los Angeles, and you're involved with retreats and pilgrimages and hakoi and sacred journeys. Can you just share a little bit about the path that you open up for people to get away from the hard knocks of business and stress and city and noise and machines?
Thank you, Tim. I imagine the listeners would like to know more about what is a sacred journey and why would we do this? I was with the Arts Council of New Zealand for 6 years, and I was a touring coordinator. And following that experience throughout this country, I was introduced to many powerful individuals, creative people, and places. And I was invited in 92 to take a group of Hawaiian elders and kahunas to Rarotonga for the Pacific Festival of the Arts, which happens every 4 years in a different Pacific nation. And that experience, along with my previous lifetime in Hawaii and my links with creative and visionary people in New Zealand, led me on a path toward shaping journeys for people in this land, in Aotearoa, and to the very special and sacred places that exist here. Why do we say sacred? Because it is, number one, out of the ordinary, out of our everyday perception and experience. Number two, it is more directly in contact with the natural world, which is very diverse and immediate here in many places. And three, the experience of traveling with others puts oneself, one's little isolated individual Facebook-friendly person, into contact with other people, many of whom you don't know until the journey begins. And over time, traveling together from place to place and receiving the many gifts that these locations give us and the individuals that we meet on the way, an inevitable transformation occurs. There's no need for a program, a dogma, a teaching. It happens of itself when one allows oneself to move through various places in the natural world. Hence, we call these sacred journeys because they enable us to merge our inner journey, the journey of our personal life and our life of our family and our ancestors, and we merge that with the journey through the natural world, which nurtures us constantly, as you say often on your show, Tim, with every breath. Life around us is bursting forth. It is springtime now. One has to go outside and close one eye, switch off the mobile phone, and just be immersed in those fields of energy. So as I was coming here this morning, feeling the ripeness and the overflow of springtime, I stepped off the planet for a moment. I know you do that often.
Thank you.
You're a certified space cadet. And looking at our planet, as if one was an astronaut who'd been off on the space station a long time and coming back, or even from a visitor from another planet, another realm, you could see the planet as waves of flowing, colorful fields of energy. And we have scientific instruments that can reveal that dimension to us.
Most of us don't put
our heads into those spaces. But if we just look at all of life as flows and waves and sometimes eruptions as hurricanes, cyclones, of energies, and always trying to find a balance, always spinning almost perfectly on an axis around the sun, which continually nurtures us with huge fields of solar radiation, which sustain life every moment. Okay, we have those immense fields of energy. We have the electromagnetic spectrum, which is invisible and yet essential to all existence on this planet and all around. And then, of course, on our own planet, this very program that we are speaking to and listening to, the radio wave spectrum, which has been around for over 100 years, passing through our bodies constantly, many, many stations of lots of crazy things and classical things and talk shows, and that is a constant field and wave of energy. The television channels, waves, flows constantly. In some countries more than others, of course. We don't have a lot of channels, but we can pick up so much. The wireless spectrum, which was spoken about so urgently last week on your program with the imposition of a 5G wireless network, which is with all of its dangers, and those kind of energies passing through our bodies with damaging intensity, we are immersed in these huge fields of energy constantly. The thing about a sacred journey is that we can step out of the man-made fields as much as possible, as far away as possible, and open ourselves to the powerful waves coming from the natural world, which are emanating from trees, plants, waters, from the earth itself. You've had Gary Cook on this program talking about the songs of plants and trees. Essentially, those are energies which we interpret and translate into melodies and songs. The seismographers can measure earth energies, and there are songs there. You have heard, as I have, the cassette, the recording of crickets, and their chirping has been slowed down relative to the lifespan of human beings, and their lifespan is very short. And when you listen, you hear choirs of angels singing.
It's a symphony.
Yeah. It is. And if we could attune ourselves, those people who have mystical experiences or, let's say, recreational plant medicine experiences with sacred plants, they can hear and feel those fields of energy, and there is exquisite harmony and information for us, because all of these fields of energy carry information, and we're in the information age. But we're missing out, and I think that's why Osher is with us today, we're missing out on very urgent information from the elemental kingdom, which has always been present. And you're looking with wonder when I say elemental kingdom. You were one of the people that introduced me to this world about 35 years ago. You had a book laying around by a man named Jeffrey Hodson, who died in Auckland in 1983.
Correct.
And it was about the fairy kingdoms. And I go, Tim, what's this? You know, you're into fairies. And I said, well, hey, look closer. And then I remembered a book called The Magic of Findhorn. And this, you know the book.
Definitely. I saw it when I went to Findhorn.
Okay, and what year was that, Jim?
1977.
All right. Then you know that book was published in 75.
Yes.
And when it was published, people said, in Findhorn they grow 40-pound cabbages, 8-foot delphiniums, and roses that bloom in the snow. What is the source of this spectacular success? Experts have concluded that there must be some vital unknown at work. Some extraordinarily powerful X factor. What is this X? And why has this garden of plants now become a garden of people who, like plants, flourish and thrive and celebrate?
Yes, well, that opens up another door to the Davic realm, yes, which is very, very profound, and which Jeffrey Hodson could actually see into this realm and see these beings over all the different mountains throughout New Zealand as well as overseas. So we are surrounded by magnificence, Michael.
True.
And this is where you and Osher are taking people on a journey to submerge their being in amidst this natural flora of New Zealand.
Well, since I met you, Tim, and was introduced to this realm, I had not met anyone who was so intimately connected to that world until I met Osher.
Okay.
About 7-8 years ago, yeah, at the Prana Festival in the Coromandel. And she expressed an interest in sacred journeys, but she didn't know much about how they happened and how to put one together. So we began talking over the years. And eventually, we got to know each other better, and we began planning our own. And I'd like to ask Osher to tell us how her connection with the elemental world was part of her introduction to New Zealand. What was the big shift from the U.S. to New Zealand that was, I think, triggered or affected by your connection with the elemental kingdom?
Well, I guess my change and healing and transformation, especially healing from post-traumatic stress disorder, trauma, happened through going to nature and going on a sacred journey. So I was removed from day-to-day life and ended up traveling to different locations and places, meeting people. And then the earth started to speak to me and sing beautiful songs. And I found out that nature constantly speaks to us. And if we stop, look, and listen, as Grandmother White Star, a Native American medicine woman, used to tell me time and again, we can receive abundance of information, wisdom, and healing medicine that can improve our lives and the life of the planet. It's not that complicated as we think. All we need to do really is to shift our awareness and consciousness and connect with nature as equals, not above and not below. Nature holds a wellspring of wisdom and information that can help us live in peace and harmony right now. I actually realize that the natural world is the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is not up there. It's not after we die. And it's not something that is far out, unreachable destination. It's right here, right now. It's in the bird song. It's in the sound of the waters. It's in our ability, as Michael said, to tune in to that field, to tune in into these frequencies. In the Western world, we are surrounded by technology. We're surrounded by fast-paced existence. We live a lot of the time out of context. And we also live in controlled settings. Many of us don't have any plants in our homes. We have plastic plants. And plastic plants cannot heal us or sing to us beautiful frequencies that make us feel alive. Why women love flowers in the house? Why men bring flowers to women they love? It's not just because they're pretty. They carry certain aliveness and frequency that brings more of the romance, the love, and all the things that we long for in our heart. I realized that my journey was to move from fear and separation, from the mind, from duality, into the heart. And in the heart, we are constantly connected, being in the flow with the river of life. And that's where sacred journeys come into play. When you go on a sacred journey, you have to step out of your day-to-day living. You have to step out of the mundane and all the beliefs and everything that you have created over the years, all the comfortable things that you have, and go into the unknown. It is in the unknown where new ideas sprout, where new life begins, and where a space is created for that which wants to be birthed from within. The living process of nature is exactly what we are going through. We are a living, creative beings. And when we go into nature, we realize that the process of life and death is natural. We learn to trust nature. We learn to trust ourselves. We learn to read the signs and to be present in the moment. We have to be in the moment during sacred journeys because we move from one environment to another. And also, we can't be attached to anything.
So true.
So we realize that actually everything is within us. We move from the external to the internal. So we are more in alignment with the sacred journey that life is all about. I was so deeply touched after the Kauri journey to Northland, where I felt my heart was glowing like Kauri gum. I could feel the glowing embers of Kauri gum inside me. And that was rippling into every areas of my life. I was touched how our group moved in unison together, how we cared for each other, we laughed a lot, and we moved with ease. And guess what? We went to research into Kauri dieback. But yes. What we found out is a vision.
You were probably involved with us, Tim, at, this was March of earlier this year?
At Warkworth.
2018, yes. You came along at the very end of the journey. We had just been traveling for 1 week around Northland forests. And for you, Osher, that was the first time you co-led a journey with Gary Cook.
Yes, well, that, can I just jump in here? It's the intention of everybody was to go in and get out of their own way, of their own ego, and surrender into a more deeper, receptive, silent being with a group of equal people who were doing exactly the same thing. So in many cases, you were able to drop into a situation where unity consciousness was there as well. And that, as a whole group, is a profound thing in itself, isn't it?
Yes, that was very special and unique about this journey. And what sparked this journey was an experience that I had with Kauri when I walked to ask the trees, why are they dying? And the tree said to me, we are not dying. Humanity's vision is dying. So part of the journey to Northland was to bring back the vision of humanity and connect with nature. And we had a lot of wonderful moments listening to different experts and wisdom keepers and being able to create the alchemy within us and deepen our connection to land and Kauri and the medicine the Kauri brings, which is a medicine for the heart of this country, the heart of humanity.
Yes. Thank you, Osha, because I came across a Christian person, and I said, well, look, we're in trouble as a whole human species. And he turned around and he said to me, all it needs is a change of heart. A nanosecond can do it. And so we need to be aware that we can shift everything. The whole consciousness can shift. It is we have to make that intention of wanting to be part of this profound change.
Exactly. And this is why during our journeys we will pause. Somebody will offer a karkia, a prayer. There may be an invocation, a spontaneous song. Of course, people will hug trees, as we will. They are very huggable. Unless they're kauri, we don't want to step around the roots and get that close. But all of these expressions are called forth by nature's presence. You feel like an innocent child again.
Yes, and open up to play.
That's right.
More playfulness. Remember in the beginning of the interview, I spoke about how my heart was feeling gray in Israel. I grew up like many of us. I went to school, I went to university, I studied. I was very much into achievement. I lived in climate control settings, and I stayed away from nature. I used to lay on the beach covered with blankets and long shirts in the heat of the sun. I was very much disconnected to nature. And guess what happened to me on this journey? My heart softened. My heart started to glow like the ember of the Kauri. Another change that happened is there's more joy and laughter. I used to be very serious and quite depressed.
Yeah, I understand.
Yes, it's quite easy to get serious and depressed when you go online.
Very much so. And so here we are. We're in an oasis where we can really still ourselves. And there's this other thing too, there's telluric energies that come up from the earth, that if we're barefooted and our soles of our feet connect with the earth, we can actually feel some energy passing up through our being. The earth speaks, and you will find that most indigenous peoples are always barefooted and they're always very grounded as well. And usually their wisdom is definitely focused on taking care of Mother Nature, or the Maori always say Papatūānuku. And I mention Papatūānuku to every Maori I meet. And instantly I have their attention. They know that Mother Earth is alive and lends us a body. And the old saying, free air, free rainwater, and until recently a free food chain.
Exactly, and all the elemental kingdom that we talk about, the fairies, the elves, the gnomes, or the little people, they are part of Mother Earth. They are part of Gaia. And here in New Zealand, I found myself in very intimate contact with these realms, especially in the Coromandel. I was suddenly able to hear their songs, and they were helping me to come out of grief and come out of pain into more of a lighter existence. They also gave me very practical ideas how to maintain a beautiful household. For example, the fairies taught me how to clean my kitchen before I go to sleep and wash all the dishes so the next day I wake up refreshed. I remember one night I looked at the kitchen, I said, no, I'm not going to do the dishes, it's too much tomorrow. In that moment, I span around and I found myself near the sink singing a song that they gifted me. And suddenly all the dishes were washed and I had extra energy. I was actually feeling very alive and alert. And
yes, well, this is fantastic. Now, the Māori used to call them putapiri, and they also used to call them tuhiru, two different names for the fairy. The Māoris could see them, but for some unknown reason, we humans in our particular society, we cannot extend our frequency range, our vision, to be able to see these little beings. But there's a whole story around that. Mm. And Gary Cook was able to capture, just for a moment, a photograph of a being behind trees in a video that he did about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago.
We have to honor the people who can and still do see these entities. We can't write them off as saying just anecdotal evidence, not possible to scientifically research these things. We have to honor the reality, the experience people have connecting with elements of nature. Little children, by a majority, have a relationship with little people or fairies or elves. They're still connected to that world after birth. Even the poet Wordsworth says we come into this planet from birth trailing clouds of glory. We come out of this immense, multiple, singing, rejoicing universe onto this planet. And as we grow older, we're taught, we're learned to focus on more serious things and get ahead, get the job, get the degree, get the car.
That's right. Physical
and forget
material.
About all this, you know, Disney nonsense. And yet that realm is a reality. You can tell many stories, I know, Ashura, of children that you were an early childhood specialist, and you've studied this for much of your life. Tell us, give us an example of...
Well, actually, the first time I became aware of the little people was through my son. We moved to a magical place on the Thames coast, and one day as we were walking down the path, my son said, Mom, they're crossing the path. And I said to him, who? The little people. And they have tools on their shoulders. And I said to him, what? And then I stopped, closed my eyes and listened, and I could see those beings. They were walking on the path, singing a happy song. And I felt this joy streaming inside me. I became curious. Later on, when I worked in the garden, I found a crystal that I've been looking for weeks. And when I picked up the crystal, I suddenly became aware that I was not alone in the garden. That actually alongside me, there was a whole bunch of little people helping me in the garden. And they were very happy, very alive, very childlike in their energy. And they constantly were teaching me happy songs. And these happy songs were raising my vibrations. They were making me alert, energized, more healthy, and more present to the beauty of life. I have so many songs that I can sing to you. We can spend many, many days. one of the songs that many people like when I sing it is Happy hearts, happy songs, happy hearts, happy souls, happy, happy, happy all day long. Whee! Happy hearts, happy souls, happy hearts, happy songs, happy, happy, happy all day long. Whee! Happy hearts, happy souls, happy hearts, happy songs, happy, happy, happy all day long. Whee! Come and sing and dance with us, come and dance and play with us, come and play, dee 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 dee. Whee! Come and play, dee 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 dee. Whee!
Yay! Well, here we are.
I guess I went into silence because I needed to connect with their vibration and frequency.
I'm speaking with Osha River Oroya and Michael Fleck and about sacred journeys into the natural world, into places of deep healing and inner peace. This is really, really special, solely because you hear of people who are writers. Marion Bradley, The Chalice and the Blade, is one, and I think even J.K. Rowling could be. They have muses who actually tell them stories, just in the case of you with the elemental kingdom, the fairy folk singing to you. You could pick that up. Now, the muses, in the Greek term, they're mind angels. They're other beings that can communicate across, and this is where great poetry, profound poetry, fantastic stories. Most probably, Tolkien was given this, his whole story as well. And to a yes. certain degree, there are many, many movies that have come out that you can see that there's magic behind them. And so I want to say thank you very much for sharing the fairy song. And we just trust that mums and dads and kiddies be open to that.
This is really important that you said this, Tim, because we use the word magic and we use the word imagination. They're the same root. And people like Einstein spoke often about the power of imagination and the place of creativity, the open, empty space where something new can emerge and inspire us to create. What is urgently needed to be created on the planet now is for more of us to open the hearts, to let the minds be free of its constrictions and to attempt to listen to another story, another narrative, apart from the one that's on the latest YouTube or Facebook campaign. It's all around us all the time. And we want to say, we are not alone here. There is help. There is inspiration and instruction available to us. Valuable information always available in that natural world. You've had Dr. Elizabeth Sartoris here, and she can verify, as an evolution biologist, that all of the major so-called problems that humanity is facing have already been solved at the relatively invisible level. You know, we don't see it, but it's in microbiology. Bacteria have solved these problems eons ago.
Correct.
And we're still stumbling along because we have forgotten to pay attention to, number one, what is generating the problems, our own confusion and greed and ignorance, and number two, not paying attention to what's going on around us.
And also the way we use our voice and our emotions. That was very central to the shift in my life. I had to deal with my own anger and rage and find creative ways to express myself. I had to connect with my voice, my soul voice, and use sound healing to open up for new understanding and doorways within me. Everything is made of frequency. Everything is alive. Nature is constantly singing. Humanity is the only one that is thinking. When we think, we actually are not fully present in the moment. It's about time that we tune into our song and connect with a song within our heart, the songs of the land, wherever we are, to stop, look, and listen. And that's where sacred journeys again come into play, because they allow us the space to embody more of who we are and connect deeply, intimately with the natural world and the healing powers of Gaia, which are right here available to us. If I was able to move from a depressed, serious young lady to a more joyful, happy, and peaceful woman, I believe anybody can do it. I remember the fairies telling me that they were going to take the serious out of me. And I said, no way. I grew up in Israel. I've been through many wars. It's not possible. I used to have very big highs and very big lows, like many of us. And I didn't believe that my life could change, as many of us don't really believe. And then little by little, gently, by offering me experiences, the seriousness and the stiffness in my body and heart softened, melted. And I found greatest joy, and I found the giggle as well. And as you could see, the song that I sang to you is quite joyful. It changes the atmosphere. Another wonderful medicine guide that will be present in our healing quest, which we're going to visit, is Gary Cook. Gary Cook lives on a magical land. We're going to visit his place, and he will share with us about the singing plants. And I will take people on a journey into the elemental kingdom on his land. It was there that I received another song from the fairies, and it was quite a funny song. Remember, Michael, the song? We sing and dance with you. We sing and dance with you. We dance and play and sing all day. We sing and dance with you. We sing and dance with you. We sing and dance with you. We dance and play and sing all day. We sing and dance with you.
There's a chorus, but we won't do that now.
Can I cut in? In 2012, Michael, you and I, we were with a group. We went on a sacred journey, and Gary was there.
Yes.
But every day, we'd all wake up, and we'd be in different places, mm-hmm. and have breakfast together, and then we'd have a karakia, and we would go for a little walk. It might be a stream, or maybe just a spectacular view. But then we'd get in vehicles, and we'd go to the next place, be it a mountain or a lake. We went over to Lake Tarawera. We went down to Taupo. Mm-hmm. We went in Kerosene Creek, the hot water, mm-hmm. and we all bathed in this hot water creek. It was just fantastic. And we ended up at Reinhardt's Citadel in Mana, and we did chanting and singing over in Coromandel, is another place, and then other areas. But we all went as a group of people whose intention was to surrender to a greater whole. We were part of a magic spell that was moving across the land. It was fantastic.
You described that very well, Tim, and I remember you have been with us on several journeys. There was another one with Drumvalo from the U.S. and a large group of 55 people. It may seem that is too many people, but once you're out in the natural world, people find their own niche, their own place to connect to, whether it's to the rocks or the grass or the waters. I've taken as few as one person on a sacred journey, as many as 55. The numbers aren't important. However, we're finding that a group of around 12 to 15 is a lovely size to move around easily without getting too ensnared in the business of vehicles and parking and all of the mechanics that we usually deal with every day, and spend more time in the natural world rather than in a vehicle. So Osher and I have been putting together over the past year and a half or so an idea. We've developed it to a journey that will bring us wisdom from the plant kingdom, plant medicine, and song medicine. And Osher is leading that journey herself next month, November. Would you tell us more about it?
Yes, this beautiful, unique journey will take us to the Coromandel, healing quest in the Coromandel, November 7th until the 11th this year. And we will experience five half-day workshops with five amazing, loving medicine guides. So we have the magical number of five days, five half-day workshops, and five medicine guides. And we were going to explore different aspects of the healing powers of Gaia. I will be sharing sound healing and tuning in to the songs of the natural world, and how through sound healing we can heal ourselves and grow in self-awareness. Rakura Sayer, who is a Maori medicine woman, will take us into the bush to connect with Maori medicine plants. And Mike O'Donnell, who is a water shaman, will share with us about the healing powers of water, the wisdom of this land. And Gary Cook will connect us with the singing plants and share with us of his wisdom and knowledge. And Jay Smith of Aotearoa Essences will teach us about vibrational essences. As you know, there are many ways to connect with the healing powers of Gaia. We can use sound, we can use homeopathic medicine, vibrational essences, we can use storytelling, we can connect with the waters, and each one is a different aspect that reflect to us our beauty and the truth of who we are, so we can go back to our daily life and bring these medicines to strengthen us and help us with our relationships, with our day-to-day challenges, and provide us with skills to heal ourselves and move to a more centered place.
I'm looking forward to this journey. When is it happening?
November 7th till the 11th next month.
You mentioned Gaia. Can you describe Gaia? Because there's lots of people still not too sure, other than the fact that it's a Greek word that goes back to about 2,500 years ago, where the Greeks saw Mother Earth as a living entity. Did you want to just add a little bit more?
Yes, Tim. Most peoples, indigenous and otherwise, have a word or term to speak of the Earth in a more personal, non-scientific manner, whether it's Pachamama, Papatūānuku. In the English language, we most often say Mother Earth, but we say it without a sense of
Reverence,
living vitality. We say it like, oh, Mother's Day, Mother Earth, Mother Love. But actually, when you say Gaia, Papatūānuku, you're talking about a living entity, and that has been proven, beginning with the work of James Lovelock, whom you know. And again, the sacred journey, the time in your garden will put you directly back in touch with the vibrancy, the presence of our Earth Mother, our Gaia. And she, as we, are co-evolving. She doesn't have all the answers. We certainly don't have all the answers, but we, on some level, need each other. We need to have an intimate relationship and really be patient and listen, because, as you can see, what's happening all over this planet, obviously we haven't been listening, and we've been doing great damage to the Mother. And the Mother is speaking back. Is very upset in many places, many ways, and yet still loving, as the Mother always will love, as the Sun always will beam on us with pure love, no matter how we shade and darken and confuse ourselves.
And that's what I realized about the energy of war is the energy of taking. It's quite ironic that we fight for the Mother, we fight for the Motherland, but actually what we're doing, we're damaging. We're damaging the Earth, we're damaging ourselves. There is another way, there is another song, another calling, which is to actually give and receive love, connect with the earth, to share and to care, and trust that Gaia is abundant. As you can look around you everywhere, you see trees and plants. Abundance grows. There's not just one tree or one piece of grass. Gaia is constantly creating. We're in a constant creative process, creative journey. And when we live life in the process, one with the earth, then we feel joyful, we feel happy, we feel connected with our life purpose. So I would warmly invite you to join us on the sacred journey. Take time out from your daily commitment and daily routines and step out of your door into the unknown, connecting with relations, with Mother Nature, and all her many helpers. The elemental kingdom are the earth angels that are part of Gaia, and they're helping in this journey. I remember working in a garden at Mana Retreat Center, and one day I sat under an apple tree. I was guided to pick up some apples and eat an apple every day. I was also guided to buy some apples from a fruit shop. And every day I would eat the apple from that tree, and I would feel happy, joyful. I was almost blushing. I could hear the song, the life force in that apple. And when I held the apple from the fruit shop, I could hardly hear anything.
It's an industrial apple.
Yes, yes, exactly. It doesn't have the life force, the song and the frequencies that is in alignment with the frequencies of our soul and our heart. So basically what we're buying is a dead fruit.
Everything for us is, yes, it is. It's, we need to have, one, nutrient-dense food, but our whole process is organic. Our unfoldment is organic. Just like a bud starts to open up during the course of a day and it blossoms
into a spectacular flower.
And there's not only colour and geometry in the petals, but there's a fragrance that we can't even see.
Yes. There's one more thing I want to say about Gaia. Many people speak of Gaia as our emotional body. And when we connect with Gaia, we are able to balance our emotional body and to tune in to frequencies that bring us more joy and de-stress us and bring aliveness, because the life force is moving through us. We're able to express ourselves and sing and dance and feel alive again.
And I hope your words and your songs are touching the hardest scientific, agnostic listeners. We honor and bless your path also. There is a place and a way. And remember, it all is occurring on this planet, which nurtures us every moment with sunlight, with breath. We don't breathe. We are breathed. And to remember, there are many ways through the garden, but let us take care of the garden together.
Let us enter the Garden of Eden.
Well, there's a Latin word, anima mundi, which is world soul. Mm-hmm. And so we are all an extension of this greater being. And I would like to also throw in a piece that when I've gone up to Kauai Purapura on the North Shore, you drive down the road, Mill Lane, and you come to a little bridge, and there's water trickling underneath in a little creek. And then you go up and you go through these trees, majestic trees, conifers, and it's like wiping your aura of all the gunk that you've picked up in downtown Auckland. And there's also one other place too, and it's Fitzgerald Glade in Mamaku, not far from Ruth Tai's place in Taupapa, where you drive through this glade. It's the best in New Zealand from what I can gather, because it's totally covered in trees. You drive, buses can go through, trucks can go through, but it's totally enclosed by the canopy of trees. And this, too, is a very, as far as I'm concerned, it's a sacred place.
Indeed. I know those places very well. I've had the same experience as you when I walk up that path to Kauai Purapura. I am so grateful for the people over many years who have preserved that place, because it was very likely to become another shopping mall with a cluster of townhouses. And we've been doing this increasingly throughout New Zealand as we try to cope with population and infrastructure, but we've been taking away, removing these sacred places. And now there's little oases of places here and there, little pockets and reserves. bless Oakland region for its wonderful network of regional parks.
Very much so, yes.
It nurtures and heals the soul of the population. We must honor and preserve these places, and likewise our bush, which must not be converted into tree farms and grazing pastures for dairy. We must preserve these things and increase their presence.
Very much. Now, I've interviewed both Gary Cook a number of times and also Mike O'Donnell. And so, people, you can go into greenplanetfm.com and type in Mike O'Donnell or Gary Cook, and you'll be able to see and what they've done and listen to them. They've got huge knowledge, and very much so with Mike. He's extremely passionate around water and knows a lot. When I went to his place one night, he took me down to his creek, and there he got in the water, and he was able to move the water, and all these lights started to shine. All these tiny mollusks came out just like glowworms, or better still, when looking down into the water, I thought it was the galactic center, our stars in the sky that were actually reflecting off the water. But in actual fact, they are these tiny little beings, and I never knew that these little creatures that emanate light lived in streams in New Zealand, and most of them have disappeared due to industrial man.
And that is the life force, that is the song of the waters. Mm.
And we must recognize the achievement here in New Zealand that happened last March 2017 when the Whanganui River was acknowledged as a living entity. After long time efforts by the local iwi and people in government to bring this about, to begin recognizing Papatuanuku and her rivers as living entities.
Yes, there's a very good article in greenplanetfm.com. If you just search for that or go into ourplanet.org, which is the container for greenplanetfm.com, just scroll down and there is a good story about the Whanganui River being acknowledged as a living entity. One of the first on Earth. It so assisted so many other countries because India just jumped in afterwards and classified a number of rivers in India as living entities. Wonderful. So it started the ball rolling. Mm-hmm.
In my book, Sacred Feminine, I share 5 healing songs that I received from the waters in New Zealand. And one of them is from Crystal Pool in the South Island.
Crystal Pool? Not the Poo Poo Springs?
No, it's Crystal Pool in Rewaka Resurgence.
Whereabouts is that?
Just outside of Motueka. As you begin climbing the road over the hill to Takaka, Rewaka.
Yes, right. Well, we're lucky in New Zealand because we have got energy sites around this country. And just like there are energy sites, we have a great Egyptian pyramid of Cheops and Stonehenge and cathedrals throughout Europe. Prior to that, there were energies coming out of the ground that the early people recognized, and hence they put these particular monoliths or cathedrals or temples.
Yes.
And I think Māori have them here in New Zealand, but until we're really ready ourselves, Māori are keeping them to themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So Osher and I would like listeners to know that if you're drawn to being more intimate with the natural world and traveling with a group of kindred spirits, kindred souls, we would welcome you on any number of sacred journeys. Those you may wish to generate yourself with your friends, let us know. We can help you shape something. And we would welcome you warmly on the Coromandel journey. It's a healing quest of 5 days from November 7 to 11. You can find more information about it on the Facebook page. Oh, sure, that Facebook address is?
Healing Quest in the Coromandel. Healing Quest in the Coromandel. You can also email michael@aroha.net, michael@aroha.net. You can also look at my Facebook page, Inner Spring, Inner Spring. You're warmly invited to join us.
November 7 through 11, next month.
Springtime in New Zealand, yes. Well, it's a lovely time in the year. This is the best time for people to really get in nature because all the flowering's happening, all the baby birds have been born, all the sheep are giving birth to lambs, cows have calves. This is a whole uprising.
You know, when a chap named Geoffrey Chaucer back in the 14th century wrote in a majestic, long, long poem called The Canterbury Tales, and in the very opening passage he says, when April with her sweet liquors bathes all the roots and vines that have been dried out by the winds of March, the burst of springtime brings something arising in people and they long to go on pilgrimages.
Okay, it's very good. Well, he was talking about the Northern Hemisphere where April is spring up there. We must really make sure we're clear. Look, this is fantastic. Well, I'd like to say thank you both for coming.
Thank you, Tim.
Michael and Osha. So allow us to take a break, to break out of the old paradigm of work and drudgery to be a new flower for today.
Thank you so much, and we're looking forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Tim. Kia ora, and keep doing this beautiful work on this program.
Cheers, brother. And you too, Osha. That was Osha River Oroya and Michael Fleck talking about a sacred journey, how we can go out into nature and really take a break and recognize the deeper qualities of how does a human being live on a planet? And how often do you actually get away yourself? Stand in nature, under a tree, in the middle of a forest, by yourself. And there's nobody else there but you. And it's 1 o'clock in the morning. And you're sitting under that tree. You're hearing ruru, mōpōk. You may hear kiwi, weka. But other than that, the silence. And maybe the trickle of a little creek nearby. But when we are in silence, and maybe we look up a trunk of a tree, kauri, you can see through the foliage, maybe the moon, marama, or stars, fitu, you may even see Matariki, the constellation of the seven sisters, the Pleiades. Being by yourself in nature, you can smell the air, but you're not alone. There's only a perception of that. Yes. Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send, and remember, even Facebook, to tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it, spread it, radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies, but of 7.6 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Muller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 400 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world. and become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are also on Facebook, on Green Planet FM and ourplanet.org. Please come and love us. This is Tim Lynch.
And or Lisa Eyre.
And Liz Gunn.
In the spirit of Aroha, wishing you a wonderful week. We look forward to being with you next week. I say kia kaha and haere rā.